All right, everyone, welcome to Springcrest Baptist Church. It's good to see everyone this morning. If you would turn in your hymnals to page number 418. Page 418, Love Lifted Me. Page 418. Start singing there on the first.
Presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Welcome to Springcrest Baptist Church. I don't see... Actually, Boaz, would you mind helping us get some bulletins and pass them out to whoever needs them? Do you know where they are? My son dropped the ball today, so we'll just pick some of those. Huh? I don't know. We'll find them later. So, today's the 20... Did I get that right? It's the 22nd, right, of June? I don't even know what days we're on, so just forgive me. Today's the 22nd. Service times, our Sunday morning service is at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening is at 4:30. Wednesday service at 5:30. And then we have the soul winning time Sunday at 2 p.m. And, of course, also just we're super flexible. So if anybody ever wants to go soul winning, just hit me up and I'll make some time. And then the memory chapter is Psalms 23, verse 3. The memory verse for the week is Psalm 23, verse 3. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is a text going out, but basically if anybody can quote it weekly, especially the kids will get a ice cream, as long as the parents are okay with that. And then the adults, you know, they can quote it at the end, the whole chapter, and usually it will be a gift card or something of that sort. Year-to-date, souls won 147, and then we have all our happenings. So will you, actually, let's just do this right now. Sister Christian, if you'll stand up, I know your birthday's coming up, right? So let's just go ahead and sing happy birthday to Sister Christian on the first. Ready? Sorry, I'm really hard about this, but we'll just get it done. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Sorry, man. It's been a while since I led you guys, so that was pretty, that was my fault. Sorry.
We'll practice next time.
And then next week is the fifth Sunday dinner. So what we'll do is, this will probably be the last time we do it like this, where we order the main meal ourselves and have everybody bring the sides. I think now we've kind of settled into a decent group. So the next fifth Sunday, we're going to just start planning it from now, where we actually make it a true potluck. And so that'll be, you know, it's in August, but that'll be interesting. But also, I'm looking forward to it. We used to have it like that when we, before we lost everybody after COVID, and it was great. You know, everybody bring in a dish and we'd all enjoy it. But then we got so small that it was just easier to just cater in. And then now that we're kind of growing back into it, we're going to make that attempt. But this Sunday, don't worry about it other than if you want to bring a side. What we'll probably do is the Mexican food again. That just, it's really easy with that restaurant. Everybody knows Heath at that restaurant. And so I just call and they're like, oh, Mr. Heath, yes, okay. And then, you know, they'll give me the order that I want. So, and then Steadfast did invite us to the men's retreat August 14th to the 16th. So if anybody wants to go to that, let me know. And then I will be preaching in Spanish at the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship August 27th through the 31st. Just see me for any details. And then finally on the back, we have the prayer request. The big one, I did finally get a text from, I don't know her name. Well, the Bostick's daughter, Wendy, and she says that basically they've moved Brother James to an assisted living, and Sister Mary will be moved soon after. They're just trying to adopt the dog or the animals. But the thing about Brother James is now they've also put him in hospice. So just pray for Brother James. For those of you who don't know who Brother James was, he served here a long time. He was always faithful. That's why we have this side ramp that we need to upkeep. But he had polio all his life, and he came in a walker, and eventually just couldn't move anymore. And you know, just now looks like he's on his last day. So just pray for him, pray for the family, and then also pray for the Fitz family. I went to the funeral for her nephew, and by the way, just you know, I want to just give out credit where credit is due. Everybody got up, and the family's really emotional, and I already said this in a prayer, and so, you know, the family's going to say what the family's going to say, but then when Sister Sylvia got up there, I mean, she just let them have it, the whole gospel, front and back. She just, I don't know, she probably said like 15, 20 verses. She had them all written out. I almost let out an amen, but there was too many people, and I mean, obviously, we're at a funeral, so it's probably not the right environment, but, you know, so don't ever tell us that pastors don't believe in women preachers. We just don't believe in women preachers in the church, right? Like, the women, you know, women can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, she planted that seed perfectly, and, you know, it was a huge blessing. And then pray for the Botello family. I don't know if so many of you know the young guy who comes here, Jesse Botello. Their grandfather died, and so they're all going to Mexico for the funeral, and he just asked us to pray for them. And so they just had a death in the family, their grandfather. If nothing else, turn your hymnals over. Oh, and Sister Karen, Pastor Cobb, do we know anything about Sister Karen?
Yeah, she's still in the healing mode. She
had done
this week.
Okay, so she's just getting better, but
she's fine.
She would try to come. Okay. Well, just pray for Sister Karen because she does hate missing church. So just pray that she can get back to it. But if nothing else, turn your hymnals over to page 471. 471, count your blessings. All right, we're there in song 471 in our hymnals. We're going to start there on first, count your blessings.
God had done. Count your blessings. what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands of gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
All right, now one more song. We're going to be in 361. Page number 361 in our hymnals. We're going to sing Higher Ground, song 361.
Some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable then. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable then. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
All right, now we're going to be in our Bibles. We would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 109. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 109 while we pass the offering plate. We read the Bible there in Psalm 109, where the Bible reads, "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. And when he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. And as he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garments, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as a garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth the fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth, yea, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul." So have a quick word of prayer. Dear Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone in the congregation here, Lord. I just pray that you fill us all with your spirit. Help us to receive this message with gladness, and help us to apply it to our lives, Lord. And I pray that you fill Pastor Reyes with your spirit. Help him to preach a bold and accurate sermon, Lord. And I pray that that we all get home safe today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're there in Psalm 109.
Let me just connect this thing. You guys don't mind. I've gotten better on my timer so I don't go over. Preach two sermons in one. Try to do better about that. But you're there in Psalm 109, and the title of my message this morning is Imprecatory Prayers When the Righteous Pray for Judgment. Imprecatory Prayers When the Judgment Pray for Righteous. And, you know, earlier this year I brought a sermon on just how to pray and what the Bible says about that. And this is a study that I've been doing all year. I still have like three or four other sermons I'll bring on prayer. But I thought this was, I actually was trying to find the best time to preach a sermon like this, just because this is one of the hardest sermons to preach in the sense of prayer. Most people don't think of prayer in this way, right? When we think of prayer, we think of like, Lord, help me out, or let's pray for some healing, or please guide me or direct me or help me. But also the Lord gives us clear scripture, not only in Psalm 109, but in other places, that we can pray for the destruction of the enemies of the Lord. And sometimes those enemies line up with our enemies. I thought it was appropriate. I almost switched the sermon because late last night, you guys know that we are on the verge of World War III. But then I thought, you know, this is actually a really good sermon because we can also pray these things to the enemies of God. And that gives us clear peace that God's going to avenge us. You know, the psalmist here has given us that clear indication But the other reason I'm bringing this sermon is just it's a good study on prayer, but also you don't hear a lot of sermons on imprecatory prayers. And this is my personal experience. I chose not to do any research. In my lifetime, when I first learned about this, I remember asking other pastors as a young man about imprecatory prayers. They're like, yeah, they're in the Bible, but, you know, it's not what you think it is. And I remember thinking to myself, what do you mean it's not? Like, it's pretty clear what the scripture's saying, right? And then the other thing that you run into when you tell people finally about imprecatory prayers is that they don't think that, you know, they're like, God's not like that. You know, I didn't even tell this individual. I had a phone call from someone yesterday, a family member, and we were just talking about, you know, it was just a catch-up phone call. And in that phone call, that individual brought up one of my sodomite uncles and how, you know, he was basically complaining about how he went to dinner with him and this guy talked all about himself. And I said, well, you know how I feel about that guy. I said, I'll be glad the day that he dies. I said, as a matter of fact, that's probably my prayer regularly is that he just, you know, die, you know. And he's like, oh, I know how you are, but I will never pray that. I said, well, that's fine. I said, but it's biblical. He's like, oh, I don't think that God would have that. And I said, no, actually, God does teach that. And I didn't want to get contentious. I said, look, I'll send you the chapter, the most famous one. I said, but it's a biblical standard that God gives us that creed. It's like he gives us that point in the Bible. But the whole point of today is just to kind of teach you what an imprecatory prayer is, how to apply it in your life, how to use it, because it's not like a free for all other either, right? Like we're not just that it shouldn't, I don't think it should just be a part of your regular prayer life, but it should be part of your regular prayer life, if that makes sense. I know it sounds contradictory. All I'm saying is I don't get up every morning just thinking, who am I going to pray destruction on? And you know, what I pray normally is like, Lord, help my children grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Lord, help us, maybe help me do a better job with as a husband. We're praying on the prayer list for the people that are, and then on occasion when I'm really angry, I'll be like, Lord, you know, can we get rid of some of these people? Just like, help me out. You know, I don't know what to do with all this destruction. I mean, as a matter of fact, even right now, you know, today in America, in Baptist churches, for the most part, they're going to be preaching what? They're going to be sounding the battle drums to go into war in defense of a nation that hates Jesus Christ. Right? And we need to not pray for that. As a matter of fact, if anything, we need to pray that God would destroy any nation that hates the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just those are the judgments of the Lord. But let's go there in the scripture. We're there in Psalm 109. The two verses I really want to focus on is right there in verse 4. It says, for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. It's interesting because in other areas where we look at imprecatory prayer, the psalmist does say, like, I've showed them love and they've rejected that love. Right? I've showed him love, and he's not just talking about, oh, I love you, but, you know, I'm preaching the truth. We go out and preach the gospel, and they're basically rejecting it. We look down a few verses later, it says, and they have rewarded me, what? Evil for good, and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. And there's two things that I noticed, because on this one particular sermon, I actually went through every single instance that I found. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect because maybe in my study, like, you know, you have, so when you look up imprecatory prayers, most of them are found in Psalms. But when you look up what an imprecatory prayer is, as you let the Bible define itself, we have two things, right? Number one, the righteous are praying and saying, hey, Lord, do these things. That's number one. But number two, the other prayer is that when those people come to pray to the Lord, that they would be condemned. So even the wicked can come to the Lord and ask for prayer, and it's a form of imprecatory prayer on themselves because their prayer is not only not going to reach them, but if God does listen, he's there to condemn them. It's a sin, right? And so those are the things that I want to focus on. As a matter of fact, I don't normally do this when I have so much scripture, but I went through and I read every single chapter that I was going to reference to make sure that I was at least on track. And if I wasn't, I would remove it. Because the reality of the thing as a way of introduction is that not all prayers are soft, right? Not all prayers are, you're asking for mercy. You know, sometimes as a saved individual, we just kind of get fed up with the things of the world. You know, I was telling my wife yesterday, I was like, man, just what a disaster that our president would think it's okay to just start a war, right? Like this, like, you know, we're not even provoked, right? We're just defending a nation that hates Jesus Christ. And even that, the people, you know, I'm telling them in love, and you know what they're going to say? That they're going to reward me evil for good, right? They'll say that we're anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic. Look, I'll preach the gospel to anybody, but I won't, you know, I don't believe that those people love the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, they hate him, right? And so sometimes we just need to pray for justice and vengeance and wrath on the wicked, because also God's given us very clear scripture that we shouldn't take it upon ourselves. It's not for us to do a vigilante act. It's not for us to plan, you know, and lay in wait to defraud someone or to hurt someone or to do something to anybody. I mean, we just need to turn the other cheek, right? And we only hate those that hate the Lord, but even then, we let the Lord do what the Lord does, right? It's not our duty. We are not the ones that are in charge of executing judgment, other than we preach the Word of God, and from behind the pulpit, you know, we tell people what the Word of God says, but I'm not going out there. You know, right now, I guarantee you the battle drums are being beat everywhere in America. People are getting their guns ready. They're thinking World War III is going to be on soil, and they're like, you know, I've already seen clips of like these rednecks. They're like, come on down to the South and see what happens to you. You know, everybody's always ready for a fight. But war is not good, right? And I'm not saying that I know Americans have a lot of guns, so it would be an interesting thing to have an invasion. But that's not our duty. As Christians, we are not to pick up that battle axe, I guess, if you wanted to say. Our battle axe is what? It's a spiritual war. We are out here to fight the spiritual battle, right? And so there's a time where we say, hey, Father, forgive them. There's a time where we pray, Lord, you know, heal them. Lord, guide them. But then there's a time where we just pray an imprecatory prayer, right? And the reason that I also preached it today is because we're still in the month of June. And let me tell you, although we didn't celebrate Pride Month as a country the way it's been celebrated in the past, you know what we're celebrating? Pride Month in the way that Trump wanted to celebrate it. I don't know if anybody saw the 4-minute clip, but that was one of the most arrogant clips of any dignitary in the history of mankind. You know, he's like, we did the greatest, what did he say? He's like, we bombed these three places. We did it so good. Nobody else could have done it better. You know, we and BB and Yahoo, we planned it so good. We probably had the best team of any team to plan an attack like this in the history. I mean, literally, I'm not even exaggerating. I wish I was. That's literally the things that he was saying. My wife heard it with me last night as it's a 4-minute clip. And he's talking about how great they are. And how, you know what that's called? Pride. The Bible says pride is not a good thing, right? And what does that word imprecate mean, right? It's a verb. It's usually used with an object, or it could be imprecating. It's basically to invoke or call down evil or curses as upon a person. Synonyms are like anathema or anathemize, execrate, curse, denunciate, right? The nouns or the other words, the other forms of that word are imprecator, imprecatory, imprecated, anathematize, bedam, blaspheme, cuss, damn, execrate, flame. So it's basically a curse or a damning of an individual or a group of individuals, right? Now, there are at least 10 commonly recognized imprecatory psalms in the King James. And in these, the psalmist usually prays for God's judgment, curses, and vengeance upon the wicked. These psalms will contain clear and intense calls for divine justice. But it's kind of argued, right? These are like Psalms 5, Psalm 6, 35, 55, 58, 59, 69, 79, 83, 109, 137. These are the ones that are like the most famous. And of course, 109 being the most famous, I mean, we just read it. That's some pretty harsh language for an enemy, right? Like, I hope that, you know, you blot them out, you blot out their family, that their children, he's just like going, and I mean, he's just like, you think he's done, and then he just keeps adding to it. But then there's other psalms and other parts of scripture where it's not the whole chapter, but there are sections where it's an imprecatory prayer, where this is it. So what's the first point I have for you this morning is, what's the biblical foundation of imprecatory prayer, right? Well, first of all, these are not tantrums, right? This is not like somebody stubbed your toe, and so you're like, Lord, stub their toe and cut it off. Like, you know, we're not children here. Or, you know, somebody wronged you on the highway in Houston. I mean, road rage is legit. And then you're like, pray, Lord, I hope they crash and die. Like, no, that's not what we do. As a matter of fact, if anything, if somebody wrongs you, we turn the other cheek. 9 times out of 10, if somebody's wronging you, they're wronging you, right? The only time we know that for sure they're wronging us is when we're preaching the gospel or we're for the things of Christ and they're literally attacking us for that reason. But for the most part, like if you're going to work, you're probably smart enough to not just be, blurting out the fact that you're a Christian all the time. And I'm not saying we should be ashamed. I'm just saying there's a time and place for everything. You're doing your job. And if somebody doesn't like you at work, probably they just don't like you because they don't like you. It has nothing to do with who you are, right? But obviously if we're out soul winning and somebody slams the door in my face, chances are it's probably because they don't like Christ, right? And that's actually not even the case all the time. Sometimes we're just angry. We catch them at a bad time. Maybe they're cooking something. Or, they just have a bad attitude. Who's ever run Don Solomon and just, you could tell, it had nothing to do with Christ. They just had a bad attitude. You just meet a grumpy old man. Remember that? I don't think I ever saw the movie, but there's a series of movies because I guess as you get old, you get grumpy, right? You got a bunch of grumpy old men. But you're there in Psalm 109. What are these? What's the foundation? They're spiritual Christ rooted in truth and righteousness, right? We're praying a specific thing for a specific group of people, and it is not a tantrum, and it's not a selfish thing. It is rooted on God's word. In Psalm 109, verse 7, it says, "When he shall be judged, let him be condemned." And then it says, "And let his prayer become sin." If you're there in the Psalms, let's go to Psalm 141. Go to Psalm 141, and then after that, quickly go to Jeremiah 18. But in Psalm 141, in verse 5, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart. So pay attention to what he's doing first before he asks for this wicked thing, right? He says, "Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties." It says, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer shall be in their calamities." And here it is again where he's saying, hey, I'll take correction. It says, "Let the righteous smite me." Hey, when you go to church, it's not always going to be peaches and cream or rainbows and sunshine, right? It says, "It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me." Look, you shouldn't be so sensitive that you can't be corrected. That's what he's saying. It said, "It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head." It says, "For yet my prayer shall be in their calamities." So it's not just like you just randomly just pick up one day and phone home and like, "Lord, take them out." You want to be in the right frame and you want to have the right heart and you want to know what you're really, praying for, right? I mean, I believe there's power in prayer. This is not just geared to just anybody. For the most part, I don't think that it's geared for a lot of people. I would think the sons of Belial, reprobates, people that are vehemently hating the Lord Jesus Christ, as in Psalm 139, nations that hate that, then we can pray this. And I think that it's fine. The Bible doesn't actually, as I read through all this, it's not a commandment for this type of prayer, but we see that this type of prayer is allowed, right? So the God gives us that ability to choose. And so if that's not your cup of tea, like the person I was talking to said, "Well, I'll never pray that." I was like, "You don't have to pray that." I said, "Well, I'm just telling you that God says we can pray that." And I like a little bit of balance in my life. I like that God lets me know that I can pray for my vengeance because he says, "Hey, don't do anything." But sometimes the flesh wants to do something, but it's actually better to just not do anything, let God handle it. It's way better for God to punish the evildoers than for me to punish the evildoers. I'll never do as good a job as the Lord Jesus Christ. You're there in Jeremiah 18, but let me just read for you in 2 Samuel 15, verse 31. The Bible says, "And one told David," this is when David's running away from Absalom, and saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And we see later on, and I'll touch this at the end of the sermon, the Lord actually answers that prayer. So it's not wrong to pray this. I want to make that clear, but you got to have the right type of prayer. Of course, Ahithophel is not only going against King David, the Lord's anointed, but technically, specifically, he's going against who? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, David is a form of a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. That's a whole other sermon, a whole other story, but it's usually the people who are against the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible says that if they hate me, it's not that they hate me, they hate who? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? But we gotta learn to discern as men, and especially for teaching our children and our congregation, are they hating me or are they hating me because of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You know, there is a difference. So just, we gotta be careful with that. But go to Jeremiah 18. Here, Jeremiah, you know, he has this long conversation right here in verse 18. He says, then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Hey, Jeremiah's preaching, and they're like, hey, let us not listen to his preaching. Not only do they not want to hear it, I mean, not only are they showing up, but they're like, let's devise a way to not listen to this. Right? It says, give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. And then pay attention here. It says, shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good to them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hit snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Now, this is a pretty harsh prayer from Jeremiah, but notice who he's leaving it up to, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let it be done in whose time? In God's time. So number one, that's why I'm saying it's not a tantrum, because look, if you are praying an imprecatory prayer, that doesn't mean that the Lord's going to answer it, number one. And if he does, it's not going to be in your time. So just leave it to the Lord and move on. But it is nice to know I can just get that off my chest and then we'll go on about my day, right? I don't want to carry any bitterness or grudges, or I don't want anything to detract from doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Jeremiah was great about that. I mean, he's literally called the lamenting prophet, speaking about how he's crying for the nation and he's preaching hard. But you know what he never stopped doing? He never stopped doing it. You know why he didn't stop? Because he just left it to the Lord. He just kept going. He never stopped. And he was not, you know, a liked individual. That's all, like I said, let me not distract. But in Revelation 6, go over to 2 Kings, but in Revelation, in 2 Kings 6, but in Revelation 6, verse 9, the Bible says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Even in heaven, the saints are like, how long, Lord? They're just getting impatient. Because obviously, the Lord's timing is not our timing. And you can tell, even in heaven, I'll never understand the glory of the Lord. His ways truly are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Right? So I want to make sure you understand, it's not a fleshly rant. Like, this is not, you shouldn't be in the flesh. You know, these are righteous cries for God, you know, to move. Honestly, in my opinion, even with what's going on right now, the more foundational prayer should be that we shouldn't even go to war, and that the Lord would enact, you know, righteous men in positions of leadership to stop this war, to be for peace, not for war. Right? Now, if they go, then we would want to maybe pray something like this. But we have way more scripture saying, hey, Lord, let's change the direction of a nation. Let's change the hearts of people, right? God doesn't want the wicked to perish. I mean, he's enacted all this because he's a just God, but that's why he's slack. I mean, he's slow concerning his promises. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. He's not slack concerning his promises, but he's slow to anger, right? Because he's not just looking to knock people out. The Lord's not looking to just get rid of everybody. As a matter of fact, he would prefer that everybody would get saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's nothing more loving than having a balanced view of life, right? I'd much rather just be able to lead every Jew to Jesus Christ. That's the truth. I am actually not anti-Semitic, right? The leadership is probably full of false prophets and God haters and Jesus Christ haters. But the people following, they're probably just, that's all they know. You know, I grew up Seventh-day Adventist. I used to proselyte to Baptist. You know how I did? I used to go around telling people, hey, you should be a Seventh-day Adventist. We're just like Baptist, except on Saturday, right? Like my intent wasn't to hurt anybody. I just was lost, right? So imagine someone just praying, like that would be futile. The real prayer would be that someone actually took the time and led me to the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't want me to see. You know, I don't want Muslims to die. They've got a false religion. I don't want the U.S. to go and just bomb all those innocent people and people that are lost, have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know, it'd be better if we just sent a bunch of missionaries that actually preached the gospel and taught people the truth about eternal life and eternal hell. That'd be much better. I don't care how great of a military we have. I mean, you don't have to tell us. We know this. I mean, we live in America. We know we have a great military. But, you know, it's there to just defend this nation. We shouldn't go around just telling everybody what we think is the best thing. We're not the moral police of the world. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but it happened yesterday and we're preaching about this stuff, so might as well. But point number two, so the first thing is the biblical foundation of imprecatory prayer, right? What, how do we look at it? Then the targets of imprecatory prayer, right? If we're actually going to pray this, who do we pray this about or what do we pray this about? You know, it's not just enemies. It's really actively those who resist God and persecute his people, right? When I don't say that lightly. When I pray that, you know, my uncle would cease to exist, I'm not saying that lightly. He's a flaming queer. Like, I don't want anything to do with him or anything. I don't ever want to talk to him, see him. His place is already reserved in hell. He's twice dead, you know, on this earth. He serves no purpose other than whatever the Lord might have in place for him to just detract or be a stumbling block. But other than that, he's going to hell. I mean, he has no purpose, he's all vanity. If I pray that, it's no skin off my back. But if somebody's just arguing with me about doctrine and maybe we don't agree, I'm not going to, I mean, what I want is to get them on the right path. As a matter of fact, somebody reached out to me via Facebook and they realized that I have a friendship with Pastor Bruce Mahian, First Works Baptist Church, which is such a weird, like the world is so small. And I don't know if you know this about Pastor Mahian, but he has a lot of Instagram followers. He does really well there. And some guy that I met in politics like 13 years ago, I haven't talked to him since I left the political realm, reached out to me in Messenger on Facebook. And he's like, hey, do you know this guy, Bruce Mejia? Obviously, he doesn't know he's a pastor. He's like, do you know Bruce Mejia? I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, what do you think about all his latest, like, Instagram posts against the Jews? And I said, I think they're 100% on the money. Like, they're biblically accurate. And he's like, oh, well, because I think they're really anti-Semitic. I said, well, that's the furthest thing from the truth. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't pick a fight with him. He actually said, he's like, hey, well, I'd love to meet with you in person. Let's do lunch because I'd like to understand your point of view. Yeah, that's great. You know, let me teach him first the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then we can talk about the Jews all day long. But you know what I'm not going to go do over there is try to convince him like Tucker tried to convince Ted Cruz about the Israelites. I mean, it's a pointless conversation, right? By the way, Ted Cruz really embarrassed Texas just this week. I mean, he couldn't have looked any dumber. That's how you know the Lord's judging him. I mean, he's like, oh, I'm for Israel. And they're like, well, where do you get your doctrine from? From the Bible. Well, what verse? Well, I don't have the verse with me right now. Pull it up on Google. He goes, well, it's in Genesis. I mean, it's really embarrassing. But go to 2 Kings 6, verse 18, the targets of imprecatory prayer. Right here in verse 17, this is that famous verse. It says, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And then verse 18 says, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness, and smote them, and he smote them with blindness according to what? The word of Elijah. So the Lord literally opened the, because Elijah was righteous in his actions, the Lord opened up the eyes and gave peace to the person that was afraid, and then smote the other group with blindness. Go to Psalm 35 and Judges 16. The Bible says in verse 28, and Samson, the famous story of Samson says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember Samson, what? He already had his eyes out. He's basically just, they're making fun of him at this big feast. And he calls that young kid. He says, hey, show me where the pillars are. And then this is the prayer. He says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember, I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this one, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And what did he do? I mean, he literally got rid of like the majority of the leadership with that one move, right? With that one swift prayer. The Lord actually answered that prayer. In Psalm 35, the Bible says there in verse 1, it says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as a chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, with which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into the very destruction, let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him? False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned to my own bosom. And so we see here, he's like, hey, take care of all these people that are basically attacking me for no reason. I mean, isn't that what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what they'll do to us. You know, in my lifetime, I've been falsely accused more times than I care to think. Right? But, you know, I just leave it to the Lord. And I actually rarely pray an imprecatory prayer. Just most of the time, it's like, Lord, just you handle that business. Like, I'm just going to move on. I don't want to have a grudge. Money lost or time invested, it's over. You know, in business, you get, taken advantage of a ton. As a matter of fact, even currently, we're dealing with a client who just like won't pay, and he's just kind of a jerk about the whole thing. You know what? My prayer is, Lord, just you handle it. It's going to be worse for that person than the little bit of money that they owe us, right? It's the way it is. Go over to, actually, let me see where I want to have you go, because the next one, I'm going to knock out a bunch of verses. Go to 2 Chronicles 32. Let me just read for you these verses real quick. In 2 Chronicles 32, you're going to 2 Chronicles 32. But in Isaiah 37, verse 20, the Bible says, now therefore, Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And we know the story, you know, they're coming, and Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sends his minions, and they're like, hey, we've destroyed all these other nations and their false gods. And Hezekiah, I mean, this is a daunting thing. It's a big army. And him and Isaiah and the scribes, they literally leave it to the Lord in prayer. And what does God say? Because you came to me and you prayed this against them, I'm giving you the synopsis. He says, I will basically give you the way. And nothing happened to them. The rumor pulled him away. And then it turns out that even then, when he made it back, his sons killed him. Right? There was a conspiracy against him. But Point number three that I have for you, and this is why I said these are just real quick verses, is the conditions that warrant imprecatory prayer. So what's the biblical foundation of imprecatory prayer, right? We want to be in a righteous mind. We want to do it in the right frame of mind. We want to search out the scripture. We want to pray the Lord to actually say, is this even warranted? And if it is, then, you know, we have biblical foundation to do it. Number two, the targets of imprecatory prayer are the ones that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, it's the reprobates, the sons of Belial, those that would look to destroy, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I mean, even now, you think about, we might be on the verge of World War III. Look, that's just the judgment of the Lord. But there's still a remnant that preaches the word of God here in the United States of America. My prayer is not that people would be destroyed. My prayer is that we would be so strong and righteous that we could turn the tide, and then the Lord would then turn the heart of Donald Trump and Netanyahu and all these guys and just be like, well, I'm busy doing something else. Because you know what? The Lord can do that. If not, just read your Bible. I mean, it's like all over the place. The third point is the conditions that warrant imprecatory prayer. You know, what is it? You know, when evil is unrepentant, when corruption spreads, when God's truth is mocked, you know, there's people that will mock the Lord Jesus Christ to this day. And people, I literally watched something. I had to turn it off. I didn't know what I was watching. You know, sometimes it wasn't anything like evil to the eye. I thought it was a church service they were making fun of. I didn't realize they were trying to push the agenda of sodomites. And so there was no context. They were just like showing a contemporary like church service. And then they start like drumming and singing the song about how, you know, the Lord's got their side because they're sodomites. And the song, and then they're like, in the song, they actually use the cuss word. And they're like, we're only using it once in the church service because we want to let you know, that God's on our side. I was like, that's mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good time to put in an imprecatory prayer, right? Lord, smite that church down. Like, that's ridiculous. Because there's kids in the audience and they're trying to indoctrinate those kids on the wrong thing. All right, in Matthew 23, verse 14, the Bible says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for repentance make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Remember we saw earlier in Psalm 109, let their prayer become sin. This is the damnation of their sin, right? In Mark 12:40, same thing. Which devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. In Luke 20:47, the same thing. Which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive what? Greater damnation. Aren't people making long prayers right now? That we would just like destroy all of the Middle East except for this little tiny piece of land that they call Israel. Am I even exaggerating? I mean, you think that John Hagee's not like up on his pulpit, sweating, excited that we're about to go into World War III? I mean, that guy's been wanting World War III for like the last 30 years. I mean, his commercial says Jesus is not the Messiah. I mean, that's been like his infomercial for the last 30 years. Isaiah 1:15 says, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Proverbs 28, verse 9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So, I mean, we can create a situation where if we're not right with God, God can punish us. He's not going to judge us to hell, but he can punish us here on this earth. I don't want to be with the Baptists that are, drumming the war drums. Because the Lord's going to punish them. You know, they're saved, they'll go to heaven, but I don't want that punishment for me here on this earth. Right? Lamentations 3, verse 8 says, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. And then in verse 44, this is one of the hardest, like, Lamentations. Number three is really tough. I wish I had time to read it, but it's really long. But it says, when thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Look, the Lord does not mess around. And so we just want to have the right conditions for the prayer. Point number four, let me just remind you, we want to look at what the biblical foundation is for imprecatory prayer. Who are the targets for this type of prayer? The conditions that warrant imprecatory prayer. And then Number four, the righteous are not powerless when it comes to that, right? This is a great, I like imprecatory prayers because it reminds me that I'm not powerless in this battle, right? The Lord says, I am weak. When I am weak, He is strong, right? I know I am weak in the world, but I'm not weak without God. I mean, with God, I'm sorry. I don't know if I said that right. I'm not weak if God's on my side. Let me clear that up, right? But our prayer, I mean, our actions should be to pray to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many times we want to take matters into our own hands, and that's really when we get in trouble. You know, the Bible literally, other verses will say that He's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, right? It's not for us to take matters into our own hands. But when it is time, if we want to, I guess if you want to feel like you took matters into your own hands, pray an imprecatory prayer. That's about as close as you can take matters into your own hands, and the Lord will listen. I mean, I could have used other examples. Remember when Paul gets the sorcerer and he blinds him for impeding the work of Christ? I mean, there's plenty of examples. I didn't use those, but if you go through the Bible, men of God will pray things and God will come through for them. But then also, there's other times where he says, and especially in Jeremiah, he spends a lot of time saying, hey, these guys, if they come to you and they say all these things and they're praying all these things and they're prophesying and they don't come to be, you know why? Because it's not from God, right? And your goal should always be to be in the Word of God. That's why I'm trying to give you so much scripture, because I don't want this to be my opinion, especially because it's not like a very popular subject. And most churches, most people, because I've asked, do not think this is a real thing in the Bible. I mean, I've literally heard it from pastors who'd be like, well, that's more, you know, it's a poetic thing. It's in the Psalms. It's kind of like a metaphor. It's not really that you can just pray things on people. I mean, some of this stuff really came true. Samson said, hey, Lord, let me take these guys out. And the Lord gave him strength to take these guys out. I don't know how metaphorical that is in the scripture. But, you know, you don't want to waste your time arguing with fools. Like, you don't want to waste your time. You know, all these people are getting online. They're like, oh, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people. You don't want to be like a keyboard warrior. Be like, no, they're not. Whatever. Just pray that they would find the light. Right? I had you turn to 2 Chronicles, but in Nehemiah 4, verse 9, the Bible says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, and then what? And said, watch against them day and night because of them. I don't know. And by the way, some of these could be applied in different contexts. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 18, it says, then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall to affright them and to trouble them that they might take the city. Speaking again on that story of Sennacherib, it says, and they spake against the God of Jerusalem and against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And for this cause Hezekiah, the king, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. By the way, Isaiah was one of the hardest preachers on the face of the planet. I mean, period. Prayed and cried unto heaven. And we know what the result of that was, right? Go to Isaiah 37, staying on that theme of Hezekiah, because this is found a lot in the scripture. This story of Hezekiah having to deal with his major army is a very prominent part of the Old Testament. You see it three or four, maybe even five times. But in Psalm 54, verse 2, the Bible says, hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. Right? In Isaiah 37, verse 15, the Bible says, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, in all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Notice this prayer is first about God. It says, incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. You know why Hezekiah is offended? It's not because they came after him. It's because they came after God, right? I shouldn't be offended if anybody says anything about me, and I want to make that point clear, but I do get angry if somebody attacks God. There's nothing that gets me more pissed off than if somebody gives an unclear gospel message. If somebody's like, no, well, you know, if you don't have works after salvation, were you ever really saved? You know, you'll see the bad side of me come out. If people are attacking the foundations of God, I got a call yesterday from an ex-church member. Was it yesterday or Friday? I don't remember. And I don't have his phone number saved on my phone. Because when he left, I deleted him. And he called me because apparently, Pastor, you might have called him by accident. So you'll know who I'm talking about. And he was calling to check in on you. But instead of just calling and check in on you, I didn't know who it was. So I'm like, hello. And he's like, hey, it's so-and-so. And I was like, who is this? Cause literally my daughter's like on top of me, my 2-year-old daughter. I had taken a break. And so she, you know, you ever answer the phone call with kids? It's like, you're trying to figure stuff out. I'm like, who is this? He's like, it's so-and-so. And I was like, oh, hey, how you doing? And he's like, hey, I don't normally ask this stuff. Here we go. Here's the woman in him. He's like, I don't normally ask this stuff, but did you delete my phone number from your phone? I was like, what am I like? Are we dating or something? Like, I don't have to tell you that I took. And I'm like, yes, I deleted your phone number from my phone. When we last talked, you said that I wasn't a good pastor and that I didn't know what I was doing. I said, that's fine. I said, so I don't have anything to do with you. He's like, I never said that. I was like, all right, well, I'm not here to argue with you. I was like, I don't have any reason to have your phone number in my phone, you know? And but people get all up in arms. But you know why I was mad at him that time? It's because he literally left the church to go to a more watered down church. I don't care that he left, but then he started texting some of the church members saying, hey, you should come to this church. And then when I confronted him about it, he said, well, the reason is because you're just giving us the milk of the word when we really want the meat of the word. Excuse me, last time I checked, Second Baptist is not the meat of the word. They can barely even they're not even preaching out of the King James, right? So of course I don't want anything to do with them. So, you know, I sometimes get like this where I'm like, look, they're coming against you. Go to verse 18, it says, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries and have cast their gods into the fire, for there were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Look, I look forward to the day when the rest of the world will know that Trump isn't your savior. Right? I mean, he might be a good president. That's up for debate. You guys can argue that all day long. But I'll tell you what, the greatest individual that ever walked this earth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And people are going to find that out, even Donald Trump. And when he gets up there, he's not going to be able to say, well, I ran the greatest country in the greatest time. And he's not going to do that. By the way, I know it's a horrible Trump. I'm not good at impressions, but it just, you know, it is what it is. But just pray about it. Don't post your anger. You know, don't get in fights. Don't stoop down to that level. Just, and by the way, like, we got to find a balance. Like every once in a while, I'll have like hard, disagreements with like other members of the church. I'm thinking, I'm going to call him out. I'm thinking of Brother Mike. Like, but I mean that in a nice way. Like him and I go back on doctrine and I actually enjoy it. And I mean, I feel bad for him because I know he's not right, but you know, I still got to help him out, right? That's what the role of the preacher is. But you know, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, I don't get off of and be like, oh man, he challenged me on this chapter. Lord, smite him. You know, he doesn't know. It's not like that. As a matter of fact, we need that kind of edification. Because to be honest with you, he's actually helped clear up a lot of doctrine. That's how you want to have, I'm not talking about arguments like that. I'm talking about people who are literally attacking you for the Lord Jesus Christ because of your gospel and your doctrine. We're going to have, as a matter of fact, you're not going to agree with everything I preach. You might not even agree with this sermon. But that's not what I'm talking about. So when you leave here, don't pray an imprecatory prayer. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, let's get the right balance. And that leads me to point number 5. You want to have balance, right? Imprecatory prayer is not a bitter thing. It's done out of boldness. You know, the Bible literally instructs husbands not to be bitter against their wives. Not only that, he instructs us not to hold this root of bitterness. Look, I'm not angry that other churches don't have the right doctrine on who spiritual Israel is, or, you know, the timing of the rapture or anything like that. I just pray that they would come to our side. That's literally, I don't lose sleep over it either. Right? So number one, the biblical foundation of imprecatory prayer. We want to know what the targets are. Number two, number three, the conditions that warrant imprecatory prayer. Number four, remember that the righteous are not powerless. That's why God gives us this ability, this teaching in the Bible. And then, but also we have to have the balance, right? It comes from boldness. In Matthew 5, actually turn there. I should have had you turn there earlier, but turn to Matthew 5. Turn to Matthew 5. Imprecatory prayer is not for your personal enemies. Just let me clear that up. I think I've already said that, but I want to make that clear. Because I do believe it should be preached from the pulpit. It's biblical. I've given you more than enough scripture to back this. But it's not like a free-for-all. It's like a, you know, you don't hand a machine gun to a five-year-old because a five-year-old would just have a heyday and probably shoot up the place, right? You hand it to a responsible individual who knows what it's for, right? It's not a weapon for just playing around. It's a tool for defense and for hunting and for whatever, maybe even recreational sport, but even then you handle it with care. You know, the first time I went to shoot, I was 28 years old, and the person was like, hey, this is not a toy, right? Prayer of any kind is not a toy. It's a legit, serious tool for legit, serious action. In Matthew 5, verse 44, the Bible says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Go down to Revelation 6. In Psalm 109, we saw that right in verse 4. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. In Isaiah 45, verse 20, Isaiah says, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, that ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge. They set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. And this is Lord G God, right? That's a form of imprecatory prayer. You're praying basically to a piece of wood or to a flag or whatever. I mean, who's seen those videos where literally Paula White, the devil's right hand, gets up and puts her hand on Donald Trump with all these other, and they're praying over. They're just praying in vain. You know, there's a world full of people saying, like people saying they're praying, but that prayer can't save. Five times a day in Muslim countries, they face the east on a carpet and they're saying they're praying. But it's a God that cannot save. Right? I mean, literally, you got one group who faces the east and prays five times a day, and they blur. I mean, I've literally, because I'm in the tech, I have a digital agency. I have a group of VAs in Pakistan and in India, and I've been on phone calls like where it's early in the morning for them because, you know, the time differences, and all of a sudden you'll hear through their speaker, and I'm like, what's going on? They're like, oh, it's prayer time. And then they'll be working through it, and it's like it blurts out through the entire city. It's like super loud, right? And then on the other hand, you have the Jews in Israel in front of a wall, like, you know, this is, I don't even know what they're doing. I'm not even exaggerating, right? I mean, they're wearing the little thing, and they're like in front of the wall, you know, saying all kinds of stupid stuff. It doesn't save them. Go to Revelation. I mean, we've already seen this, but I still want you to see it. Like I said, this is a very important part of what I'm preaching. But here in Revelation 6, in verse 9, it says, and when he had opened up the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Look, prayer is essential even in heaven. The saints are slain. They're in heaven, and they're looking down, and they're like, how long, O Lord, will you wait? Point number 6, I'll have you turn. Actually, turn to Psalm 58, because that's the place, last place I'm going to have you go. Like, this is going to go very, very quickly, because these are the examples of God responding to imprecatory prayer. And I've already given you some snippets, but let's just go through those and just clear them up, right? Because God doesn't ignore these prayers if they're in the right context. And the reason I preach this is because people ask this question, and I never got a straight answer from any. When I was a young man, I asked about this because I was like, I read Psalm 109. I was like, whoa, like, where did this come from? Like, you're reading the book of Psalms and it's like, Lord, they compass me about, and I delight in thy word, and we love you, and thy mercy endureth forever. Like, all these great Psalms. And also you get to Psalm 109 and he's like, you know, let his days be few, and let another take his office, and let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate. I mean, that's pretty rough, right? If I went up to someone, I said, you know what? I don't like you. And I hope all this, like, and I started spewing that stuff. People would say I'm kind of hateful and vindictive, right? Like, that's a hard saying. So, you know, but God responds to that. And he's in 2 Kings 6:18, we saw that, right? He struck them. He strikes the enemy with blindness. In verse 18, he says, and when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he did. When Samson, we already saw that, but we'll see it again. It says, he called, right? I said, I pray thee, strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines of my two eyes. And I love the way it's worded. I pray thee what? Only this once. Why? Because Samson is a form of Christ. And what did Christ do for us? He laid down his blood only once so that we would be avenged of our sinful nature. And all we have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And even Jesus prayed, right? Let this cup pass from me if it's your will, but not my will, but thine be done, right? David, in Ahithophel's counsel, this one's, I'm going to spend a little bit of time here, like 3 minutes, but 2 Samuel 15:31, you know, we know that Ahithophel was a counselor to King David. And the Bible says, you know, the Bible tells us that the counsel of Ahithophel, and then it says, was as if a man had inquired of the oracles of God. Like, so obviously he had some influence, right? But he was a turncoat, as we would call him. And 2 Samuel 16:23 says, in the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired of the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So, I mean, he had a pretty important position as counselor to David. And then his betrayal came. And what happened? He gives advice to Absalom, but the Lord places other people in the place. In this example, Hushai. And Absalom listens to Hushai, not Ahithophel, right? And what happened? In 2 Samuel 17:23, the Bible says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. What's interesting about this story is that all that David was asking was that his counsel would not be listened. He didn't even ask for the death of Ahithophel or destruction. He just said, hey, don't let his counsel not be heard. But God was so angry at Ahithophel, he's like, not only is his counsel not being heard, but I'm going to take it into my hands to make sure that he hangs himself. Right? That's what I'm saying. The Lord doesn't need your help. He knows how to avenge not only himself, but us. Hezekiah, we saw that, but basically, just for the sake of time, in Hezekiah 37, verse 36, the Bible says, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Because of the prayer of Hezekiah, 185,000 Assyrians were taken out by the Lord. They're not empty words, but you got to have it in the right frame of mind. And so in conclusion, you're there in Psalm 58. That's where we're closing. In conclusion, first of all, let's just recap. The biblical foundation, there is a biblical foundation for imprecatory prayer. It's biblical. It's in the Bible. It's real. But the targets are not what you think, right? The targets of imprecatory prayer are those that hate the Lord, that are against the Lord. And those are also the conditions. Not necessarily, look, if someone's against the Lord, but they're not, like, they're not attacking you, then if you don't know about it, just don't worry about it. I'm not like praying for the destruction. I'm not like sitting at night praying for the destruction of everybody. I'm just like, Lord, there's these people that are attacking you. Can you please handle it? Right? And remember, because of imprecatory prayer, and all prayer actually, we're not powerless. Right? We have the ability to improve our lives and to be avenged if we come to the Lord in prayer correctly. And I've already touched on that in another sermon, and I'll bring other sermons about intercessory prayer and healing and supplication, but this is not that sermon, right? And just like every time I say, God is a God of balance, right? And so we need to be balanced in our approach. That's why we don't just preach Jesus, like happy Jesus every Sunday, but we also don't preach doom and gloom every Sunday. There's a balance. sometimes we're just preaching through the Bible, like on Sunday evenings, we're just going through the Bible. There's not really a specific topic. I'm just covering a bunch of topics that the Bible is covering at one time. Right? But the conclusion is this, though. It is time to pray. It's time to pray some fire. And I'm not just talking about imprecatory prayer. I think America just needs to humble themselves. As we know in the Bible, right? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and what? And pray. We want healing in the land, but nobody's willing to get on their knees and pray for the healing. And I'm not talking the prayers that they're doing at the prayer breakfast, you know, for Donald Trump. God does not care about that. As a matter of fact, Isaiah made that very clear. He's like, God doesn't want your sacrifices, your oblations, nothing, because it's all in vain. He wants your repentance. He wants your humility. In Psalm 58, verse 1, the Bible says, "Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation?" Do you? Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are strange from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot him his arrows, let them be cut, be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as the whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance, when he seeth the vengeance, he shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that the man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Look, there's a reward for the righteous, and it's a judgmental God. God saves and God judges. There is a time. Look, the time is fleeting. The time is now. I keep thinking we have time, and then 10 o'clock in the evening comes, and we're almost in the verge of World War III. We might not have that much time. I don't think that this is it, just because the temple hasn't been destroyed, and there's a bunch of other stuff that still has to go down. But that also could happen very quickly. I mean, remember, COVID came and went, like, so quick. COVID felt like it was going to last forever, and now it's like a distant dream. Right? Remember the days of COVID, where nobody wanted to sit next to each other and everybody's wearing a mask, and now it's just like we're back to normal. I mean, every time I see a mask now, I'm like, man, I don't know why they're wearing a mask, but, you know, it's weird. But what I want to say is I think that, number one, we need to preach the whole counsel of God. I have not heard a lot of preaching on imprecatory prayer. I have heard some, so I'm not going to say I'm the only one. Plus, if I was the only one, you guys should probably, you know, think about it and be like, why is he the only one bringing this truth? But there is truth about imprecatory prayer. Even if it's not preached as much today, it is a biblical foundation. And I guarantee you, if we go back when the Bible was preached more thoroughly, you'll find this type of preaching. So this is not a new thing. And I think I gave you enough scripture. And if I didn't, then, you know, you can come see me after the service. But let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. And Lord, help us to enact the proper prayer at the proper time. There's so many forms of prayer that we see in the Bible. Job comes in prayer and gives praise for all the things that happened to him immediately after he lost just about everything, Lord. And we see also David praying that, you know, your mercy and grace endureth forever, and that, you know, he loves and delights your word. But we also see prayers of imprecatory prayers where we're just asking that you would take vengeance, specific vengeance on those that hate you, Lord, that would look to mock you and attack and impede the cause of Christ. So, Lord, I just pray that I gave enough tools and enough scripture necessary for someone to make this type of decision. And again, I don't see in scripture where it's a commandment to pray this prayer, but if someone does feel the need, that they would do it in the right frame of mind, Lord. And so today my prayer is not that you would just destroy Israel and Iran and that America would just rule and reign over all the nations. My prayer is that you would pull them back, Lord, and that we would have peace and that we would be able to then go out into the mission field and preach the word of God. There's a lot of people here in the United States that represent those countries that could hear the gospel and go back to their families unhindered and preach the gospel in those homes as long as they're not destroyed, Lord. So my prayer that you would just lengthen the time so that we would have more time to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.